And it's with those bleak unemployment numbers that we'll begin our weekly conversation with our political commentators, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome back to you both.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
E.J., let's start with you. President Obama today said, look, we've made some progress, in his words, when you look at these numbers compared with the numbers last winter when we were losing 700,000 jobs a month. What do you think this means, E.J.? We heard just now an economist talking about a jobless recovery. What happened to the power of that $787 billion stimulus package?
Well, I guess the Obama administration would say, imagine how much worse things would be. I mean, I was thinking that Obama is probably singing Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This to himself. There's bad news on the Olympics for Chicago out of Copenhagen. He gets it in midair on the way home. And then these awful unemployment numbers. And I think that what's really sort of serious about this, both as a human matter and as a political matter, is that this recession is being felt deeply by a majority of the country. The Economic Policy Institute put out a poll this week that showed that 24% of Americans saying someone in their household had been laid off, 33% said a family member or a close friend. That's 57% of Americans have a personal link to a layoff in this recession. Doesn't mean Democrats are going to lose in 2010, but boy, this is not a good environment for them.
Yeah, David Brooks, the president, said we need to grind out this recovery step by step. But as it's grinding out, do you think Democrats will pay a political price as we head toward the midterms?
Yes. I'm not sure they'll lose their majorities, but I think if you want to guess, will they lose more than 20 House seats in 2010? I think that's entirely possible. The country's nervous as it is. If you get unemployment or hanging around 10% for an entire year, that's a problem. Now, I have to say, I'm somewhat critical of their policies. I'm not sure I blame them for this. We went on a 20 or 30-year spending binge where personal debt rose from about 45% of national income to 145%. Now we're rebalancing. And to me, the question going forward is, do we try to supplement that private spending binge with a public spending binge or not? Will that do any good? I think the evidence today is that public spending binge, which we've done so far, is not doing all that much good.
E.J. mentioned the Olympic. Let's move on for just a second, though, E.J. You mentioned the Olympic disappointment for the president. He swooped into Copenhagen, making his personal pitch for the games to be held in his hometown of Chicago. And lo and behold, the IOC votes Chicago out in the first round of voting, didn't even make it to the finals. Is this a whopping loss of face for President Obama, do you think?
I think it's not a good thing. I think there are a lot of questions left by this. I, for one, was not critical of him for pleading for his hometown. I like people, or his adopted hometown. I like people loyal to the places they're from. But you wonder, did the White House know this was in that much trouble? Did they know that it was going to be rejected even before he landed back in the United States? I think that, you know, his aides scrambled out on the White House lawn to try to explain this. They said, well, there's a lot of politics in the Olympics. So these are people who are pretty good at politics. And so I think there'll be some explaining. And maybe they just knew Chicago was in trouble and it needed some help at the end, and his help wasn't good enough.
And David Brooks, some Republicans are gloating in this defeat. They're also saying, look, it's about time he came back and focused on what's really important, the economy. Do you think this was a mistake to put himself on the line here?
Well, as a friend of mine said, if the old Mayor Daley had been in office, he would have found a way to rig this election. If you can't rig an IOC election, that's a disgrace to Chicago politics.
A little arm twisting.
I do think there, you know, I don't blame him for trying to get it, but I do think there is a time to say no, to start saying no to things and focus on three or four things. There was a report from Stanley McChrystal, the general in Afghanistan, that he'd only met Obama once up until a few weeks ago. If you're not focusing on that in a lot more intensive way, you're spreading yourself too thin.
Let's talk about Afghanistan, and we can end there. David, you were talking about General McChrystal, who wants more troops for Afghanistan. The administration is weighing what to do. Headline today in the Washington Post, White House eyeing narrower war effort. Do you think this is spin, that it's people in the administration trying to shape the debate through the media?
Yeah, I actually think they're doing a good job. This is an incredibly tough call. McChrystal wants a lot more troops. Joe Biden, the vice president, doesn't. They had a three-hour meeting with 18 people, big raucous debate. I think it's entirely possible or entirely appropriate for them to have this debate for a few more weeks. It's a tough call. The only thing I'd say is the only thing we know that works in counterinsurgency is this sort of troop-heavy coin strategy that McChrystal has been talking about. If they can find an easier way to do it, God bless them, it's worth trying.
And E.J., the president met face-to-face today on Air Force One, 25 minutes with General McChrystal as he headed back from Copenhagen.
Right. You really sense that they are moving away from McChrystal's all-in strategy, that there's a lot of reluctance in the White House to commit to a very long, very expensive, costly both in terms of human beings and money, strategy there with no clarity as to how it's going to work. I think they are going to do not so much Biden light, but Biden heavy. They're trying to find a middle way so that they're not stuck with a strategy they'll regret when the next election comes around.
Okay, EJ and David, thank you both very much.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
EJ Dionne of the Washington Post and Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times.